Good morning. So good to see all of you. You look great, and it's going to be a great day. Welcome online, family, as well. Man, you guys look great. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look great. Take a breath and say, you made it. You made it. Congratulations. Congratulations. As Pastor Mael already said, I just really do want to say thank you so much. I was overwhelmed, blown away by the amount of people that came forward, prayed over the buckets to pledge and to pledge towards the Building on Faith campaign. And I can't wait to see what happens December 8th. I believe that God's going to do what only God can do. Amen? He provides. And at the same time, I am so grateful, even with the pipe bursting, that we're still able to meet together in our own building. We didn't get displaced. God provided. Isn't God good? And I'm just so thankful for all of you. We're glad that you're here. And it's going to be a great day. Today, we're talking about healthy relationships. Healthy relationships. It's been said the quality of your life ultimately depends on the quality of your relationships. With Thanksgiving coming up and all the Christmas holidays, you are going to be spending an extraordinary amount of time with family, cousins, acquaintances, maybe friends, some you love and some you choose to love a little extra. And there's always an opportunity to work on our relationships. In fact, at PCC, one of the things that we love to say is that people are the prize. And sometimes there are some people where that takes a little bit of faith, and for others, it takes a lot of faith. But we want to be people that build healthy relationships. And God actually talks a lot about it. And it always starts with Him, doesn't it? Our relationships are always most healthy on earth when our relationship with God is good, when we're connecting with Him. But we're going to get a chance this week, especially, I think, to practice. I grew up going to Thanksgiving with my family. My uncle had 9 kids. Him and my aunt, they populated Thanksgiving all by themselves. Anybody else have family like that where you just fill up a room with one side? And so there was kind of a tradition on Thanksgiving and Christmas. The Linseth side would all get together, and we would have a great time. Now, I think people fall into 2 camps. Let's see if this is true. There are people who really, really love Monopoly, and people who really can't stand Monopoly. Raise your hand if you're in the camp that really, really loves Monopoly. Oh, wow, okay. Put your hands down. Raise your hand if you're the people that can't stand. Wow, we have some marriages divided in the house, okay. Well, that's right, we're working on relationships. But we were playing a long time, and there were so many people that we had 4 sets of Monopoly board games happening all at the same time in this house. So the games are going, and it's going for a very long time. And I'm watching, I'm not really playing at this point. And there's one table that is getting a little intense. Now, I've got to confess something. Our family is predominantly made up of pastors, worship leaders, Bible, Sunday school teachers, people that think they're pastors. I mean, that's basically the family. But for some reason, when Monopoly comes out, things start to shift in their theology. And out of nowhere, I'll never forget this moment. It's kind of like everybody's playing, and one of the people in our family stands up with anger, grabs the table, and flips it over. I think he said, if Jesus can do it, I can do it too. But he flips this table, the board games go everywhere, and it's just this awkward silence. What do you do, right? Well, he just got up and walked out. And I remember just the pieces of it, like, this is supposed to be a healthy, godly family. Like, we love Jesus. But isn't it true that all of us are still in process? God's not done with any of us. He loves us as we are, but too much to leave us as we are. That's why we say one of our values is that we love to develop people. We're all growing. But isn't it true, the quality of your life is ultimately depends on the quality of your relationships. What's going on in your relationships? And what we want to talk about today is that we serve a God who wants you to have healthy relationships. And so the big idea that we're talking about today is this, is that we want to be people that are building bridges, not walls. But I don't know about you, when we start looking at all of the negativity, the evil in the world, the things that are spoken, the things that are written, the lies, our politics, our country, our nation, our world. Sometimes, if we're really honest, we just want a wall. We just want people out. I want my space, my safe, happy place. I'll have a man cave, if you will, just turn on football and let the rest of the world go to waste. But the problem with that is if you try to live your life that way, you're not really following Jesus. Because Jesus said that I came to seek and to save the lost. He said I came to tear down walls but to build bridges towards people. And in order for us to do that, we've got to make a determination that we're going to follow Jesus, not what my flesh really wants to do. And how easy is it to preach it and hard to live it? I live in the same city you do. Go to many similar grocery stores, I'm sure. And there are always opportunities for me to allow my relationships, even the ones that I'm closest to deteriorate and get worse. But if I believe in what God says, if I believe that following Jesus enriches my life, builds my relationships, I need to go back to the Word of God and find out, how does God want me to have healthy relationships? What would God say to you this Thanksgiving? What would God say to you when you're in your car this week? How can you start living your life with better relationships, feeling closer and connected and building bridges with people instead of putting up walls? What would that even look like? Some of us here are like, man, I don't even know where to begin with that. Have you seen my house? Have you seen my neighbors, cousins, uncles, and aunts? I mean, if you just knew what I came from, healthy relationships seem so far away. But I just want you to know there's hope because Jesus came to present hope to you. Through him, you can have different relationships. You can have different outcomes. But it will require that you own you. You can't control other people, but you can control yourself. You can't control the person sitting next to you, even though you squeeze their hand as hard as you want. So what does God want to do with us? Well, I want to turn in our Bibles to go to Numbers chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn those that come up on the screen. I want to set the stage for you. This might seem like a little obscure passage to talk about relationships, but it will make sense in a moment. You see, the children of Israel have just broken out of Egypt. They've been set free. Moses is leading them across the desert. They've seen miracles. They've watched the sea parted. They've seen fire. They've seen smoke. God's done an unbelievable miracle in their life. In fact, not only did he deliver them from Egypt, but he had the Egyptians look on them favorably and send them out with gold. Come on, somebody. That'd be like going to Nordstrom's and saying, I didn't just buy things, they gave me things. That's the kind of Christmas shopping I'm talking about. So they are out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of captivity, out of bondage. They're on the threshold of what God says is the promised land. What is the promised land? It's a land the Bible describes flowing with milk and honey. It's a good and spacious land. It's everything they want. It's theirs. They get to live in it and have all of the things that they have dreamed about. You ever been dreaming about your dream home? Anybody here? Just this way, Mael sent me a picture of our dream home. Can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to happen. But they're sitting literally on the border, and before they go in, this is where we pick up the story. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. It says this. Numbers 13, verse 1 says this. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So this is important. There are 12 tribes, 12 spies go out, and they're going to look out the land. Now, this is important because they didn't have Google Maps like we did, like we do right now. Does anybody else just enjoy picking a location or a restaurant or somewhere, and when it comes up, you tap on it, and you can see the actual restaurant? Nobody else thinks that's out of this world crazy? Does anybody else remember when you used to have to print up like maps on like MapQuest and have papers and you're trying to drive? And some of us here, do you remember when they actually had maps? And you pull them out of your glove box and your whole dash is filled and you're trying not to get in an accident? Talk about needing healthy relationships back then. You had a navigator trying to figure out where you're trying to go. I mean, it is amazing what our world is allowing us to do. They didn't even have that. They had a camel. So God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send people out, the best of the best, 12 of them. Go look at the land, come back and give us a report. And that's where the next part comes up. They come back and they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Yes, God told the truth. It is what he said it was going to be. It is amazing. It's right there. Just cross the line. Here we go. Unfortunately, a big but gets in the way. Here's what it says. But, turn to your neighbor and say, but. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Instantly, what butt talk does, it brings in fear and it makes you see the problems, not the solutions. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Does anybody else need a Caleb or Joshua in your life? I can tell you right now, some of the people in this room right now, you have been Calebs and Joshua to Mael and I, and we just want to say thank you. This is a life-giving church. We encourage each other. We speak up. We believe the best, and we get rid of butt talk. We're not doing any butt talk. Why? We're going to see in a moment. Because the but, it says, even here's another one, but. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we. I think I skipped Caleb. Let's go back. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored, listen to how bad it gets. It devours those living in it. Think about that. They were just talking about how good it is. Milk, honey, giant fruit. And now all of a sudden there's giants and it's devouring people. Do you see? Isn't it amazing what butt talk does? Haven't you seen this in your own life? We tell a story and it gets worse and worse and worse to the point where it's not even true. It devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. I want to finish the story for you because then it says in the next chapter, there's an uprising of butt talkers. Caleb and Joshua are like, we can do it, but no, we can't. And they stir up such a bad report, like a spark in a dry season of the wilderness that catches fire. And before you know it, they're literally talking about stoning Moses. The very person who got them out of Egypt. They even say in the story, it would have been better for us to die in Egypt than to come here and die at the hands of the giants. Butt talk. I just want to say this to somebody this morning. I feel like the Lord's saying this. God has a future and a destiny for you, but there's always a butt talk away from keeping you out of it. God wants you to say yes to his words and silence the butt talks in your life. And it's really a sobering thought process because to think that just speaking life could keep an entire generation out of their inheritance is pretty astonishing. Because the Bible, we've probably all heard this. Have you heard Proverbs where it says life and death is in the power of the tongue? Who's heard something like that? Life and death's in the power of the tongue. Then why do we let our mouths say things that we know we shouldn't say? If we really thought through that, I think we would be more careful because speaking life builds bridges, not walls. Speaking life will build bridges, not walls. But here's the problem. The same mouth that will encourage our friends will the next day tear them down. Have you ever had a report get back to you about what somebody else said about you? Oh, no, they didn't. Come on. And you called them up and they said, I hear you said this. Oh, but talk just comes out. How do we get rid of butt talk? By speaking life. And in fact, this is something that it's amazing how as believers, people that are supposed to be mature in their faith, oftentimes we have to keep revisiting this part of scripture because it's really easy to slip into but a negative talk. In fact, James 3:9 says this, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. When did Christians ever think it was okay to curse other people? What does it, James just say? And with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Friends, God has called you and I to speak life, to have life coming out of us. And I want you to hear this. God was able to get the Israelites out of Egypt. God was able to get them out of the problem. I haven't done that in a long time. Wow. God was able to get them across the sea by splitting it. God was able to feed them. God did miracle after miracle, but what kept them out of the promised land? Their words. I have seen it over and over. I have seen churches that are following God, moving in the right direction, and suddenly somebody starts speaking evil, and next thing you know, it spreads, and then you have division instantly in the church. I've seen it in marriages. I've seen it in friends who thought they would be together forever, and one word, and they start dividing. Butt talk is way more dangerous than we like to let on. My prayer for all of us is that during feast week on Thanksgiving, we will fast butt talk. What if we feasted on the word of God and that's what started coming out of our mouths? You see, How do we change our words? If it's really that important, how do we start changing our words? Because the truth is, we don't always realize it, but a lot of the things we say are picked up by the people we're around. Your work environment, family of origin, even your accent, the way you say things. And it can be really hard if you've heard cursing and butt talk your whole life to suddenly start speaking life. How would God want you to start changing what you say? I want to illustrate it this way. I'm going to ask Pastor Seth to come on up, please. Let's give it up for Pastor Seth. He was here first service, so he's hoping he gets this right, and you'll see why in just a moment. So, come on. So, the Bible says, come on, give me a hug, brother. Give me a hug. All right. Welcome. We'll see if I'm rejoicing or if you're rejoicing. So the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. If we're going to change our words and speak life, we must start with what's inside of us. So right here, I have two bottles of water. One is filled with pure drinking water, and the other one is filled with distilled white vinegar. So here's the game, Seth. You get to choose which one you're going to drink out of, and I will drink at the exact same time to see who was right. Because here's the truth. What comes out of us does not just impact us, but those around us. Everybody is tasting the fruit of your words. Whether you're there in person, or whether you're online, or how about this? People are saying this. I've heard this. I heard a lot of butt talk. Well, what if we started saying, well, I'm going to give you some life talk. We'll build bridges and not walls. Well, Seth, are we ready to see if we're in butt talk or life talk here in a moment? All right, buddy. Which one do you think it is? All right. Let's see if he chose right. Wait, 3, 2, 1. Ah! Oh! Wow. Here, give me that one. Oh, my Lanta. She's worried about my, you're good. There you go. God bless you. We'll see if we're looking for a new youth pastor soon or not. Wow. So Pastor Rod did it in the first service and he drank it. That stuff tastes terrible. Wow. We're going to speak life, aren't we, people? We are going to speak life. How was Joshua and Caleb able to speak life when there were thousands and even some estimation that there were over 1 million Israelites at this time, all saying no, all saying butt talk? Because isn't this the pressure? If everybody else is saying it, I should say it too. God isn't looking for a popularity contest. He's just looking for us to follow. He's not even looking for you to think that's a great idea. He's just saying, I told you, let's go, and we obey him and his words. I don't know about you, but I've never really felt good about confronting anybody about what they've said about me. But talk will destroy. But I'm here to build bridges. So what did Joshua and Caleb do that was different than everyone else? The first thing we know, Joshua would hang out at the tent of meeting whenever the glory of God would come down and talk to Moses. He couldn't help but get around the glory of God. He had God affecting his life. And then in Numbers 14, verse 24, it says this about Caleb. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit, and this is so critical, and follows me wholeheartedly, his heart was not divided. I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Caleb and Joshua entered the promised land not because they were better looking, not because they were smarter, not because they were bald. They entered the promised land because their hearts were different than everyone else. and they spoke up. Yeah. Hey, church, we need to be people that speak up. We need to be people that speak up. Come on. But we need to be speak up. We can clap for that. But what are we saying? We're simply agreeing with what God is saying. That's what life talk is. If you want to improve your relationships, start speaking life. And I want to warn you, this is a journey that will not be easy. Because you've had many years of practicing butt talk. So how do we start practicing life talk? My son Titus and I, we've been practicing life talk because believe it or not, I'm still on my own journey too. I want to grow. I want to have better relationships. I want to speak life. So Titus and I, we drive, and it's a privilege, nice and early every morning to school. I take him. It's pretty early. Some mornings, who are the morning people that just want the car nice and quiet? Anybody like that? How about the other people? Okay, we got quiet people. Who loves some music? Just like, let's go. Where are my talk radio people? Okay. How about Bible in the car people? I play my Bible. Somebody like, oh, yes, that's me. Just kidding. So Titus and I started doing this where when we get in the car, we recite Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What are we doing? We are changing the water inside our souls. We are choosing to fill our lives up, and I am choosing to think about godly things because there are lots of things that I could be thinking about. And what I think about, I will ultimately start talking about. If I'm going to speak life, I need to be filled with the presence and power of God. So how can we foster healthy relationships in a world full of negativity? I want to give you three quick things. Number one, you've got to recognize there will be a temptation to believe a bad report. If you don't believe me, just turn on the news. If you don't believe me, just get on social media for more than 5 minutes. Someone is going to tempt you with something to believe that's probably not true. You see, Numbers 13:32 tells us, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. The bad report is always a temptation to believe it. But what did Caleb and Joshua do? They silenced the people before Moses said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can do it. So how do you know if the report is bad? How do you know? I want to illustrate it for you this way. This week, I received 4 phone calls from a phone number I did not recognize. You know how many times I answered it? 0. No voicemail. I'm not calling you back. Some of you are like, okay, well, I'm going to leave a voicemail next time, Pastor Nate. I didn't answer it. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I'm kind of tired of getting all the scams. Like, I should buy this, I should do this, so I just don't do that, right? But here's what I want you to know. When I look at my phone, and I get a phone call, and it says, my gorgeous wife, guess what? I answer it. Why? Because I know the source. I know the source. One of the most important questions you have to ask yourselves whenever you get a report is, who's talking to me? Where is this coming from? What is the actual source? In fact, I got a voicemail from somebody that was telling me that I have a flight coming up, that my flights were changed. And the voicemail went on, and I just started laughing. You want to know why? Because it was my friend Alan pretending to be my tour guide and made up all this stuff, right? So I knew it was a lie. We had a good laugh about it. But on Friday, I got a call that I didn't recognize, and I thought it was a voicemail. And you know how in your voicemail you can read the voicemails now on your phones? I started reading it, and I thought all my flights were changed. I had gotten a little panic and I had forgotten that he had left me that voicemail. So I started going on my computer. What happened to my flights? And then it hit me. Consider the source, Alan. He got me. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? How easy do we just jump on things that we know we shouldn't be listening to? Because God has called us to build bridges, not walls. But if you're believing bad reports, you're always going to put up a wall. So what are we to do? Consider the source. Recognize there will always be an opportunity to believe a lie. Number two, communicate with grace and truth. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When Paul wrote that, I hope you know this, but salt had a very, very important role in your meat. It was a preservative. If you were going to have meat for very long, you'd have to be covered in salt. So what is Paul saying? He's saying, let your conversation be full of grace. What is grace? Grace is the revelation that you cannot save yourself, but you are saved by Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It means that when you and I are having conversations, it should be less about sports, weather, and trivia, and more about how good God is. And then it should be seasoned with salt. It should be preserved. The message of the gospel needs to go out and be preserved and last. Why? So that you may know how to answer everyone. That's what speaking life looks like. Speaking life is the bridge towards connection that you and I are really looking for. About 14 years ago, I was on a trip to London. I got to go to Manchester. It was part of our master's. We did some studying abroad, and I went over there and my own fault, my own navigation, I accidentally booked the wrong flight on the way home. And so what that meant was everybody else flew back from London together and I got to go home by myself. And not only did I get to go home by myself, but my flight was at like 3 a.m. London time. So we get back to the hotel about 11 p.m. and I'm kind of in this mode of, do I take a nap? Or do I stay awake because I didn't want to miss the flight? Have you ever had one of those decisions like, should I sleep or should I not? So I'm laying in the bed. I'm not really sure. So I'm kind of waiting. And then I just decide, oh, forget about it. I'm just going to get up and go. So I get up, get over there. I take one of the buses, shuttles, and figure out the terminal, all these different things, get all the way to customs. And I have my passport. And I walk up to the counter. And I'm ready to go, and I check in. They say, passport, please. And I go to hand it, and it was not my passport. It was a different little book. And I start looking in my no passport. I'm looking at this man. I'm like, I don't have a passport. And they're looking at me like, you don't get to fly. And then out of the blue, I'm like, you know, have you had those panic moments where you're just like, your heart's beating? I'm not going to make it home. I'm going to die in London. And then, boom, I woke up. I was dreaming the whole time. I couldn't believe it. Have you ever had a dream that felt so real? That one just absolutely freaked me out. And I looked, you better believe I have a passport. Here's why I tell you that. Speaking life is the passport that will connect you to where you need to be. God has a destination for you. God has a promised land for you, and it looks like healthy relationships. But too many people who at one time were full of Jesus, loving God, full of the Holy Spirit, too many Christians, I see this all the time, they don't get sweeter, they get filled with more butt talk and their passport expires. It has nothing to do with your age. It has everything to do with your spiritual maturity. Did you know that the Bible says that mature fruit is actually looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the last one, self-control. Sometimes the most life-giving thing you can do is not say anything. That's why James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I had a friend tell me, because here's the problem, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. You probably already know this. I like to talk. I've got a lot of words. I had a friend come up to me one time and say, hey, you know that God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason? You should listen twice as much as you should speak. I said, I don't know if that's in the Bible, but that sounds okay with me. I'll work on it. Thanks. I get what you're saying. But sometimes self-control, spiritual maturity is simply saying, I'm not going to agree with what the enemy's trying to do here. I'm going to build bridges, not walls. And finally, number 3, remember you are a child of God, not a grasshopper. Some of you are like, man, I don't think I'm a grasshopper. Maybe not, but you have a lot of self-doubt. Maybe you look at the mirror and you hate what you see. Maybe you look at your life and all you see is regrets and disappointments. You see, what happens when you live and believe in butt talk and lies, you end up spinning lies about yourself and making it a whole lot worse. Numbers 13:33 says this, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes and we looked the same to them. How are you at speaking life over yourself? Over your family? What confessions do you make about yourself? Somebody like, well, Pastor Nate, I'm just being real. Yeah, you're being real mean. You ask other people about you and they're gonna say some great things. You ask yourself and it's like, oh, Anne of Green Gables and the depths of despair. Some of you will get that culture reference. Some of you will be like, who in the world is Anne of Green Gables? Okay, I had a babysitter that made me watch that every time growing up. I'm just saying, all right? When I was growing up, I was about fifth grade. And one of our teachers did a report on me, and they wrote this long thing. And my parents had a parent-teacher conference with him. And I wasn't supposed to see the paper. And my parents had left it out in the bedroom, and one night, I don't know how I was in there, and I opened up the paper, and I'll never forget reading this paper. You see, when I was a kid growing up, my greatest dream was to play basketball in the NBA. As you can tell, I got the genes for it. And I would talk about one day I'm going to play in the NBA. And I had all these other accolades and dreams and stuff that I wanted to be. Well, I pulled open this notebook and this paper comes out and it said, from Mr. Smith, Nate needs a dose of reality. He will never play in the NBA. In fact, he needs to learn how to start reading better. He struggles in math, and it just listed all of the things that I was not good at. Something I should have never seen. I just start crying. I'm sad, I'm not going to the NBA. My teacher thinks I'm stupid. Here's the truth. All of us have had somebody say something like that about us, haven't we? It may not be the NBA, but you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just crying. My mom comes in the room. Nathan, what are you looking at? You're not supposed to see that. She gives me this big hug. And she goes, Nate, one day you're going to be in the NBA. You're smart. You're amazing. I love you. And she just starts speaking life over me. This isn't about being in the NBA. It's about believing what God says about us. You see, Psalms 34:12 says this. Whoever of you would love life and desire to see many good days. Anybody else want some of that? Here's what you need to do. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's what God has called us to. That's the kind of people that we want to be. Amen. If I could have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. In the first service, we had 3 people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I believe there are others here in this room right now that as you were listening to this message, the Holy Spirit began to tug at your heart. Today is your day to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There's no person that's too far gone, no story that's too lost. There is no butt talk too big for our God to not restore your life. If you're here this morning and you are ready to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, you want to follow him all the days of your life. If that's you, I ask you to just raise your hand right where you are, and I want to pray for you. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. Slip up your hand and make the best, your best yes. Your best yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Let's repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and make me new. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, church? As we close, we're going to worship Jesus for just a moment. And as we do, I believe God wants to do some healing in our lives. Maybe you're here and all you've known is butt talk. All you've known is doubts and unbelief. Today, God wants to do a work in your life. He wants you to speak life, but you can't speak life if you don't have the author of life inside. If you're here this morning and you want to upgrade of your words, you want to speak more life, would you just raise your hands? I want to pray for you. If you want to speak life this week, you're going to fast negativity and you're going to speak life. Father, I see all those hands that are up, Lord. I pray that we would speak life, that we would see good days, that we would refuse to speak evil, that we would refuse to speak lies, but that we would speak life, that we would build bridges, not walls. Help us to have healthy relationships with you and with each other. Thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.
Hello. Thank you for listening to today's podcast from Portland Christian Center. We're so glad you joined us. And before we wrap up, we want to give you one more opportunity to accept Jesus into your life. If you're ready to take that first step, please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long, I've kept you out of my life. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and cannot save myself. No longer will I ignore the door when I hear you knocking. Thank you for coming to earth, bearing my sins on the cross, and offering me the gift of eternal life. Today, I surrender my life to you and trust you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for me and rose again on the third day. Please come into my heart, transform me, and guide me to live fully for you. I believe your words are true, and I put my faith in you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, congratulations. Here at Portland Christian Center, we call that your best yes. We would love to connect with you and support you on your new journey. If you want to connect with us more and be part of our Portland Christian Center family, visit our website at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.